The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's Friday. Friday. Do you understand, Albin? Chris, it's Friday.
I'm getting ready for Fun Facts Friday with my honor-bound coffee.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, honor-bound coffee?
This is a radio show, and I have no idea. Oh, our sponsor, honor-bound coffee. Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, before we get into, important things, let's start on a silly note. This whole show, both hours today, we have Victoria Jackson. You heard me, Victoria Jackson, an alumna. That's the female singular, an alumna of Saturday Night Live. She is going to be our guest for both hours. And at the end of hour two, the three of us, which is to say you, Chris Himes,
yes,
you, Albin, the Sator, and I, Eric Metaxas, we three are going to do a Fun Facts Friday episode. I got to tell you, I love Fun Facts Friday. I'm already looking forward to it. In fact, I'm looking forward to it so much. Can we tease it? Do we have any fun facts that we can share with the group now,
yes,
before we get into some serious
stuff? I have something I want to share. And this is an homage to the famous Slovenian from Pittsburgh, Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler on Batman. Riddle me this, Metaxas. When can you use up and down to mean exactly the same direction?
When you use the word gobble?
No. Well, I have here either saying shut up or pipe down.
Well, I'm not kidding. I believe that there is an episode of the 1960s Batman where Frank Gorshin's character as the Riddler poses a joke like that. And the answer is gobble, and then they come up with turkey, and they figure it out. But I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Now, listen, you shouldn't have brought this up, because now I have to tell you that I met Frank Gorshin. I had drinks with Frank Gorshin at Sardi's.
Who didn't?
No kidding. I tell you, most people know him as the Riddler, which is one of the most insane characters ever created. I mean, who would think that he would like leap on a table in a green unitard and, you know, clench his fist? And it was just one of the most crazy characters ever created. But what a lot of people might not know, if they don't know Frank Gorshin, he was one of the greatest impressionists who ever lived. His impressions of he was most famous for Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster. He would do them all the time. But he was a genius. You know, and sometimes it's scary how freakishly good someone is. He would do the two of them. You can look these things up on YouTube. But he was a genius. And he played, this must be about 15 years ago, he was on Broadway in a one-man show. Yeah. George Burns had died not long before that. So he did a one-man show as George Burns.
Right.
The whole show. Imitating George Burns, singing as George Burns. It was brilliant. And I went backstage to meet him and talk to him. I got his information. I gave him a copy of my Don't You Believe It book. Speaking of Fun Facts Friday,
right.
I gave him a copy of my Don't You Believe It book. And he read it and loved it. He said to me, that's quite funny, you know, when I met him again. But we met at Sardi's. We talked. I wanted to have him on my show. But the problem is I didn't have a show in those days.
Right.
So I was trying to get a show. But what a privilege to spend a couple of hours with Frank Gorshin.
I met him, too, when I was working at the old FX network here in New York City. I did. But here's the best fact of all. My mother knew his mother because she was the announcer on the Slovene radio program. And he's Slovenian,
what
like the president's wife.
Wow.
Yeah. He's Slovenian.
So two of three of us met Frank Gorshin. Chris, yeah. You must feel like a real jerk right about now.
I do. I did not meet him, but I am having all of those question mark signs around my head right now.
Well, I don't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about all these different things. It's so kooky. Yeah.
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson. She's coming on in a couple of minutes. She's just a ton of fun. We love her so much. And you know what? A lot of people who watched our Christmas show on TBN, and you can see that on the YouTube channel. If you go to the Eric Metaxas show on YouTube and you scroll down to Christmas time, you can see the show. But she was her favorite. She was their favorite part of the show because
she's a scene stealer.
She is a scene stealer, and I love her, but she's so funny, and you know, it's hard to crack me up. You guys crack me up. Well, that's why you're here.
Marshmallow World. So, you guys doing Marshmallow World is my favorite part of that Christmas special.
We believe that.
I love that.
Did that really happen? Did we really do that?
We got to do a Thanksgiving this year. We got to do Thanksgiving.
Okay. When I interviewed her, now, by the way, since it's Friday, tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, the TBN show will be on, okay? On my one-year anniversary show, she's on that, and she agreed to do a Thanksgiving special with me. She said we should do another Christmas special. I thought, we've already done a Christmas special. They need to re-air that. Not that many people saw it. We need to re-air the Christmas special, but we need to do a Thanksgiving special. Well, maybe we'll have a little Squanto thing.
Hey, can I play a turkey?
I don't think you really... I don't think you could not play a turkey. How's that grab you?
Okay. I got the neck for it.
I don't know what I just said. All right, look.
That's zoological appropriation if he does the turkey, unfortunately.
That's right. That's politically incorrect. Let's remind our viewers, before we get to the fun, there's a different kind of fun. When you give to Angel Tree, Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program to help the children of those who are in prison right now, you are doing God's wonderful work to reach out to these kids. I tell you, if you meet these kids, you'll cry. Not to have a mother or a dad around through no fault of your own. That is, you can just imagine what that does to a kid on any level. And I want to tell you, you can do something about it. You can reach out to them with the love of God by either sending them to summer camp for an entire week to get them, you know, out of their urban environment and so they can see something different and can hang out with people who tell them that there's a God who loves them really. Or if they can't go to summer camp this year, they will get a $200 care package sent to them by Prison Fellowship and Angel Tree, which has a $150 grocery card because a lot of these families are really struggling, a lot of unemployment. You know about this, folks, right? We're going through a tough time. And there's a Bible for the kid, an age-appropriate Bible. So there's nothing in there about, you know, David delivering 200 foreskins to Saul or none of that gross stuff is in there, okay? This is all family-friendly, okay? Do you understand? So they get a Bible. They get a Bible study thing. They get a letter telling them how God loves them. And they get some sports equipment, folks. If you give by going to MetaxasTalk.com, you're enabling a kid to be very, very blessed and to hear about the God who loves him. But it's up to you. So you have to either go to MetaxasTalk.com, which I just did a couple of days ago. It's the easiest thing in the world, folks. You go there and you can give. It's nothing. It's so easy to do. I want to encourage you to please do that if you can. Give what you can. Don't say, oh, I can't give. You can give something. Yeah. Can you give $10? Can you give $20? Give that, because that's going to, it's going to add up. And by the way, it doesn't matter what you give, whatever you give, you'll be entered in a grand prize contest to win. Oh my gosh, Albin, tell them what they might win.
What you might win. You are going to a big bundle of Eric's books and they're going to be signed. And then there's a couple of my Hamster Holmes books. You're going to get those. And those are going to be signed, okay?
You're going to be sick of books. Do you understand?
Sick of them. You're going to say, I swear off reading. That's it.
That's right. That's how bad it's going to be. A truck is going to dump stuff. It's just going to bury your garden in books. And also, you get to visit the studio. And by the way, if you don't win the grand prize, you can win all kinds of other stuff. When you give $100, you know, you get a free subscription to Metaxas Super. When you give $200, you get two of those plus a signed copy of my new book, Seven More Men, all kinds of stuff. Or you can call 888-206 888-206-2793. That's 888-206-2793. 888-206-2793. Please call that number or go to MetaxasTalk.com. You will be blessed.
That your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me
welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I need a haircut, but I can't get one right now because there's this pandemic thing happening. And so I'm just gonna have to go forward, with my hair at this length. There's nothing I can do. But here's the good news. As my guest, to distract me from my big problems, we have my friend Victoria Jackson. Vicky, hello.
Eric Metaxas!
Yes, that's correct. It seems to me, Vicky, that you're a showbiz pro, and you've been on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. You've done Saturday Night Live, and you ought to realize that holding a camera up, holding a phone up during an interview is a big faux pas. It's simply not done. What are you doing, Vicky?
Well, Eric, this is the wave of the future. You see, we don't have ABC, NBC, and CBS anymore. We film each other all day. I film you for my show. You film me for my show. We're all filming all the time. That's what we do.
But don't we ever edit? When do we put the cameras down and then, edit what we have? And can you edit my hair in post on your program? Do you have a first of all, why are you filming me? Excuse me, Vicky. The level of chaos right out of the gate. I mean, there are people listening right now who they're already confused. Let me say, I have this thing called a radio show. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We also put it on YouTube. And if you're lucky, if we are lucky, it will air on TBN as a bona fide TV program. Very exciting. But people who are watching this show with me as the host and you as the guest, they're wondering why you are holding a camera up. Are you also doing a show, Vicky?
I am, and I sent it to you last night, and I think I might have woken you up because I'm sorry. I sent it really late.
You suffer from poor self-image, Vicky. You're always blaming yourself. Stop it. You didn't wake me up. I slept like a baby. I slept like a top, like a rock, and I wish that I had time. I'm the guilty one because I didn't have time to look at it between then and now.
Eric.
Or now.
Okay, here's the thing. My whole life, I've wanted to be an airhead on a sitcom, and it hasn't happened yet. And I'm 60. I'm like, so I made my own. I went to college last year, Lipscomb. I learned editing, which, by the way, I can edit your hair. I always edit my show because then I can get my double chin to disappear. Look at my double chin. It's gone because I know editing skills now and lighting and I edit out all the shots where I look bad because I'm in control of my show. And I'm on the seventh show now.
Wait a minute, Vicky, I'm getting confused. And if I'm getting confused, I'm sure those who are watching this show or listening to the show are also getting confused. You live in the Nashville area. I live in the New York area. We are now doing a show with our computer cameras. That's an interview show. But you're telling me that you have the ability to film some kind of a sitcom where you are? I mean, that seems like dramatic. How in the world can you?
Oh, well, it's easy. In my college, they taught us that these do just as good a job as the million-dollar cameras. It's a little secret, trade secret. Shh. You only need this. Number two, I have sunlight coming in. That's my lighting. But number three, I just started my own show. It was my homework. My teacher, my professor, he said, make a show. I was like, okay. And every Monday on YouTube, my show comes out. Now, I can't monetize until I have 400 hours a year and 1,000 subscribers. But I have 1,000 subscribers already. Vicky, but I need a million.
What's the name of your show?
The Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show. This is the Vicky Wicky, the Vicky Wicky Wacky, the Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show. And
the Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show. Very catchy, Vicky. Now listen, listen.
You're on it now.
Your friend, and I'm going to have to ask you some questions. This is tough love, Vicky, because I want to see you thrive, okay? And you don't mind that there are people listening into this now, right? Pretend they're not there. You said it's a sitcom. So do you script it, or is it all improv? Is it like a Christopher Guest mockumentary? What is it? What's the genre? Is it a genuine sitcom?
No, it's a reality show.
Ah.
And basically, I don't even script it. What I do is I start thinking about Bible verses and the meaning of life. And
wait, so you're parlaying your quiet time into big bucks?
Yeah. Like you. Like you.
No, like you.
Okay, so listen. What happens to me in reality is so much more interesting than anything you could make up. I mean, I'm going to do a movie in August in Michigan. I'm in one scene where I do a handstand. I'm working at a 7-Eleven, and the guy comes in to buy gas, and I'm upside down. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Wait a minute. Whoever wrote that script made it up.
Right, but like the fact that a 60-year-old is like going to Michigan.
Oh, I see, going to Michigan to do a headstand in a movie. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm behind my dues in Screen Actors Guild, so whatever they pay me is going to pay for my Screen Actors Guild. I mean, Sunday, I was at Michelle Pillar's beautiful farm. You've been there.
I've been there. She's the one with the 100-year-old horse.
Mm-hmm.
How old is that horse?
40.
The horse is 40 years old. That's like a Methuselah horse. How old do horses get?
They get to be 30 tops.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm sure somebody could look this up right now. There have to have been horses that have lived to be older than 40. Otherwise, her horse would be in the Guinness Book of World Records, right?
Well, it is going to be in the record.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was there with a girl I met at Starbucks who gave me my drink, Chloe. She has this cool haircut, and she's 20. And I go, Chloe, are you a dancer? And she goes, yes. How did you know? And I go, you look like a dancer. And I asked her to dance to Michelle's song, Untangled. See, my next week's show is going to be about Untangled, Michelle's book. And Michelle's singing the song. Chloe's dancing in front of the horse, and Michelle's talking about her
ancient horse.
Yeah, and that's my next week's show. This week's show, I did a flashback on my youth, my Johnny Carson, my Johnny Crawford, because I was reflecting on old age, and I have my mother singing, "Darling, I am growing old." I have it all mixed together.
Does your mother live near you?
Yeah.
She does. Yeah. Well, listen, so you're really doing this every week. So if people want to see it, and I'm sure many people listening to this right now would prefer to be watching the Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show. So how can they go there?
YouTube.
Okay, YouTube, and just put in Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show.
The Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show.
It's
kind of like a peek inside of my brain. There's a lot of things going on, and then they all resolve eventually. Like my Bible verse yesterday was Second Corinthians 4:16. It says, so we do not lose hope, because although our outward body is perishing, our inner our inner self is being renewed day by day.
You don't believe that, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You know, I do too. It's the Bible. It's all true. But let me ask you some less deep questions. How do you spell Vicky, with an I at the end or a Y?
An I.
Hey, so Vicky Wiki is Vicky with an I and Wiki with an I at the end?
Yeah, but Wacky has a Y.
Right. I knew that. So it's Vicky Wiki Wacky Jackson Show. You know, Vicky, I like that title, Vicky Wiki Wacky Jackson Show. That's funny. Is that something you've had in your back pocket for your whole life, or did you just come up with it recently?
Well, my mom used to call me that.
Oh, so then it's something.
Vicky Wiki Wacky. Yeah.
Vicky Wiki Wacky.
Vicky Wiki Wacky.
We're going to have to go to a break here. Vicky, don't go away, because, listen, I love talking to you about anything and about nothing. So do not move. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. You know you should go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner. I think it's Prison Fellowship right now. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. And don't go away. More with Vicky Wiki Waxy Jackson. We'll be right back. Christian best-selling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot, because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life, for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Hey, folks, I'm here with Victoria Jackson. She calls herself Vicky, and some of us who are her friends call her Wiki or Vicky. Her new show is the Vicky Wiki Wacky Jackson Show, and you can find it on YouTube. You can also find this on YouTube, probably. But let me ask you, Vicky, what are you holding up? Because I can't see it right from here. What do you have there?
Excuse me.
Remember, a lot of people... Some people might just be listening to this on radio, but they should really be watching it on TBN or on YouTube if possible. So you were just holding something up. What did you have there, Vicky?
Well, funny you should ask. Well, I wrote my first screenplay, Eric.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called... Jane Blonde Saves the World, One Mistake at a Time.
Can I tell you what, Vicky? That's actually good. You're very, you know what? You're a conundrum wrapped inside of a flaky pastry wrapped inside of a travesty, wrapped inside of a, you know, you're puzzling, because you come across as ditzy, and yet people who follow you know you're very, very sharp in a ditzy package. So look at that. Look at you. You type in everything. Who says you're dumb? Come on. You really typed that with your little fingers? Did you really?
Typed it. I wrote it out of my heart.
What?
It's a romantic comedy, and it's super funny and clean. Like, there's no dirty jokes like in most comedies on Netflix these days. But it's
Vicky,
it's funny.
Listen, I knew you wrote it, but I mean, you typed it. You didn't just write it on legal pads or something. It's done. Like, there it is. But I want to get back to the title. The title is very clever. Please give it to us one more time.
Okay, here's the mock-up poster.
Jane Blonde saves the world one mistake at a time. It's never too late to live happily ever after. That, Vicky, that's really good. You know me. I'm very critical of you, even harsh, even abusive.
Yes. Oh, but you're today, harsh.
But
you
today,
are harsh.
Because you're my friend, I speak the truth, and that's really good. One mistake at a time, that's really funny. That's really good. And I hope no one steals it because that's spectacular. So this is, you've written, it's like a vanity project, right? You want to star in this. So what are you going to do? How are you going to film this? What's going to, you know, what's happening?
Well, it's not vanity. It's just that nobody
so that's technical,
knows.
That's a technical term. That I don't mean that, you know, as an insult. Well,
I know, but it's, to me, I always have a bad taste in my mouth when an actor writes a movie for themselves, like Clint Eastwood or whatever.
Why?
Because it's so narcissistic.
No, it's not, Vicky.
But what people have to understand is nobody else is writing for me. Nobody.
Vicky, listen, Rocky, okay, was written by Sylvester Stallone for himself. And it's one of the greatest films, you know, it's a spectacular film. Sometimes you have to do those things. And that's just the way it is. And so you really are clever. So I'm glad you did it. What's can you share the plot with us?
Yes. Well, basically, this is Lulu, and she's a 60-year-old woman in an emotionally destructive marriage.
Huh. Interesting. Are you bad-mouthing your sweet husband, Paul, your long-suffering husband, Paul?
No, I'm not, because this is fiction.
Are you getting back at him with your art?
No.
No?
This is fiction. It's just that there's a lot of women I know in my age group who have these experiences. And so basically the log line is a 60-year-old woman who's looking for adventure, meaning, and love in the second half of her life.
Because Paul has failed her?
Paul isn't in the movie.
Because your fictional husband has failed you? In other words, what happened that at 60 with grandchildren that this woman is, you know, running around looking for these things? What
she's
happened
not,
in the first half?
She's not looking for them. She's begging her husband, Rex, the ex-cop who goes to the gym every day.
You're such a bad person. Deep down, you're shallow.
Hey, can I say something? Every writer writes about their own life.
The fictional cop who flew fictional helicopters, you know, in Florida and spends a lot of time at the gym, has an American Indian background.
No.
And checks out the 20-somethings when he shouldn't. And that we know that's fictional. That's got nothing to do with your lovely husband, the haberdasher.
Of course.
Very meek, Irish, pasty-faced guy. There's a dramatic difference between the reality and the fiction. But in the fiction, in this story, what happens to – you were just explaining that what happened. Something happened.
Okay. What happens is Lulu wants one thing in life. Her five children are grown and gone. I have two children. It's not me. I'm playing a character. I know a woman like this, a friend of mine. Basically, she raised her five kids, and now her only dream is for Rex to take her to Paris and kiss her on the top of the Eiffel Tower on their 30th wedding anniversary.
Wait a minute. To not even kiss her on the face? Oh, kiss her on the top of the Eiffel Tower. You meant kiss her on the face on the top of the Eiffel Tower. Okay. listen, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to straighten this whole thing out, folks. I'm talking to Victoria Jackson. The show is called The Vicky Wicky Wacky Jackson Show, and this is the Eric Metaxas Show, and we'll be right back.
Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's named after me, so I have to be the host. But it's not a bad thing because I get to talk to wonderful people, not in all cases, but today it's pretty much the case. I'm talking to my friend Victoria Jackson. You may know her from Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, from the Texaco Hour with Milton Berle, Red Skelton. Actually, Vicky, I'm just making that up. You're not old enough to have been on Red Skelton or Milton Berle. Did you ever meet Milton Berle, Vicky?
No.
Did you ever meet Red Skelton?
No.
Do you ever meet Bill Murray?
Yeah.
You did? Can we talk about him for a second? You really don't talk about him enough, and people are very interested in Bill Murray. What do you think about the guy?
Well, I met him at the 40-year SNL reunion and another time before, and he's very grumpy, but there's something very attractive and charming about him. It's like you just want to hug him and say, hey, what's the matter? Cheer up. My brother actually acts exactly like Bill Murray, like he's adopted his personality.
Does he have a kind of a pockmarked insouciance about him as well?
Kind of.
Well, so, but you've met so many people in Hollywood. It's an amazing thing. Recently, I had Pat Boone on the program, and he was friends with, you know, Elvis and Bob Hope. I mean, it gets crazy when you think about it, when you travel in certain circles. Vicky's left the building, pulling an Elvis on us. This is such a weird thing to be doing a TV show with someone who gets up and leaves. Oh, Vicky, there you are again. What are you showing us, Vicky? I'll have to describe this to my radio listeners. What are you showing us, Vicky? What is that?
I'm about to finish telling you about my movie.
Oh, with Gary Berghoff. Go ahead. Gary Berghoff.
My movie that I wrote called Jane Blonde Saves the World One Mistake at a Time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. So you have written a screenplay with that lovely title. Do tell us about it. Go ahead.
Basically, this woman wants her husband to take her to the top of the Eiffel Tower for their 30th anniversary and kiss her. They never had a honeymoon. They raised 5 kids. And he's like,
What can we do there that we can't do here? Absolutely not. We can't afford it.
That is so creepy when you do those voices. That is so creepy.
I need a hip replacement. I need a new shoulder. I need a new knee. It's out of the question. We can't afford it.
That's creepy.
And so she's like, oh, well, honey, she gets all dressed up. She like tries everything. And so finally she catches, there's a something that happens that makes her snap. I won't give it away. At the gym concerning her husband. And she catches it. And she snaps. And so her neighbor, her Asian 20-year-old neighbor, because you have to have young people in the movie. Nobody wants to watch old people for an hour.
I know. That's why people aren't watching this show, because we're way too old.
Yeah.
That's why you should never give your age on the air, Vicky. You've blown it. Maybe we could edit that out and just pretend to be young. Anyway, the point is that we're both now in our very late 30s. And please continue the story. Go ahead.
Okay, so my young, beautiful, hot neighbor who's Asian, and I want Awkwafina to play it. I love Awkwafina.
Awkwafina, isn't that a type of water?
She's in the movie.
Who's Awkwafina? What is that? That's a person? I thought it was a beverage. What are you talking about?
Her name is Nora, but she named herself Awkwafina, AWK, as her rap name. She is in the movie Crazy Rich Asians, and she has this deadpan humor. I am a huge fan of her. So if we could afford her, she would be great as my best friend.
Since I've not heard of her, my guess is you could afford her. So go ahead, continue.
Well, anyway, she says, hey, Lulu, my film class is going to the Cannes Film Festival. And I go, why? And she goes, because we're supposed to learn about show business. It's mostly business, you know.
Now, why are you looking away from the camera now? Have I hurt you?
I'm focusing.
Oh, but you can look at the camera. You're a showbiz pro, so you can look at the camera and focus at the same time. Don't you can't kid me, Vicky. Stop this. Go ahead. So she says we're going to Cannes Film Festival.
She goes, if you're desperate to go to the Eiffel Tower and Rex doesn't want to go, just come with my class.
Wait a minute. The Cannes is in the south of France. The Paris is nowhere near Cannes. So why do you have to go with her? I don't get it.
Because Rex won't take Lulu, and Lulu catches him cheating at the gym.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong when men cheat? Is that what you're trying to imply?
Very funny. And so my friend goes, don't be sad, Lulu. Come to France with us. Take a train, look at the Eiffel Tower, and then fly back. And, you know, the point is Lulu wants her husband to love her. She, you know, it's not all about the Eiffel Tower, but
I mean, you really, in this script, this fictional character named Lulu catches the Chickasaw cop cheating, like really cheating. Like, what do you mean at a gym? I don't understand. Was he glancing at someone inappropriately? What happened that hurt you?
By the way, it's not about Paul. It's about, I had to write a movie for my screenplay class, and you write what you know. And we're at the gym.
So you put bitterness on the page. Go ahead.
No, I put reality on the page, but I made it funny so you could swallow it.
You know what? We have to go to a break. I apologize to my audience, but we will be right back with Vicky.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Hey folks, welcome back. Final segment this hour. I'm talking to Victoria Jackson. Vicky, you were telling us the plot of this this bitter roman à clay.
A screenplay that I wrote and that I'm seeking investors.
You're seeking investors? Well, I can't help you. I'm also seeking investors, Vicky. All right. We're all begging for money. What do you want from me? Now, listen, though. Wait. So you go to, you go with this friend.
Lulu goes with the Awkwafina character, or it could be another woman. Casting all depends on who's investing in it. That's
I believe I could play that Asian woman, and I would do it for half the price that she would charge you, unless people would think of it as cultural appropriation. But I don't really care. I just think it would be fun to do that. But Vicky, seriously, what happens now? Can you tell us more, or is it going to blow the whole thing?
No, I'm seeking investors, so hopefully someone listening will be excited about this plot. Okay, basically, Lulu keeps making mistakes all the time in her life, and she keeps saving things by accident, and it's building.
So this is like Mr. Magoo.
It's like It's like
Mr. Magoo.
It's like the Pink Panther. It's like Inspector Clouseau was a bumbling idiot.
Bumbling idiot.
But he always caught the bad guy.
Right. That's a kind of a hoary comic conceit. And Mr. Magoo falls into that category also. But hoary, H-O-A-R-Y, venerable. So, Vicky, listen, goes to Paris. Okay. I feel like I've got to walk you through this. What happens?
Okay, she goes with this film class. Now, the reason I got the idea was because my actual Lipscomb Film School was going to Cannes this friggin' week. I had tickets to the Eiffel Tower for real, for my first time. And I was going with my film class, 10 young people and the teacher. And I begged Paul to go, and he finally said he would go, reluctantly. So the movie is not my real life. Anyway, we were booked to go this week, and the COVID canceled it.
Well, you know what? I have a funny feeling the Eiffel Tower is not moving, and that you will be able to go. I've only been to the Eiffel Tower once, and it's a very bad memory for me. It happened in 1984. And we were just going to leave Paris. And I thought, before we leave Paris, we're going to run to see the Eiffel Tower because we have to tick that off. And then we're going to go grab our backpacks and get on the train. And so we went to the Eiffel Tower, and I realized I didn't have my wallet with me. And I was sure, on the train going to the Eiffel Tower, on the Eiffel Tower, coming home from the Eiffel Tower, that I had lost my wallet, and it just destroyed my time. It just made it wretched. And then, of course, when I got back, I put it in my backpack in a weird place where I never put it before. But that horrible memory, maybe I need to go to the Eiffel Tower to kind of redeem it in my mind. What do you say? Maybe we can go together.
Well, I was going to offer you the role of the leading man that I meet in Paris.
You're on. And you know what? I'm glad we're out of time, because that way you can't go back on your promise. It's done. And you can't afford me, but I will work with you. Folks, we're going to be, I hope, back with more Victoria Jackson in the next hour. Vicky, don't go away. Yes.